This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names would mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I abuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. I tell you what, Mike Bell, it's college football playoff thing, man. I don't know if you agree with me. Top four teams. Last night, the rankings came out, guys. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Dogs dropped out of the top four, and we knew that was probably going to happen after the way that Auburn won the football game last week. But I'm looking at this college football playoff committee card that I got. Right. AT, this was like 3 years ago when we went down to the SEC Media Week, and they were looking ahead to when we start the college football playoff. And on the back of this card, first of all, on the front, it had all the bowl games connected to the championship and who would play where. And then on the back of the card, it was basically laying out what the college football playoff committee and what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at this, Mike, and it says the best four teams, all right, the selection committee will choose the top four teams for the playoff based on the body of work, strength of schedule, head-to-head results, comparison of results against common opponents, championships won, and other factors. And it's the other factors that I'm curious about, because the other things, that they make common sense. I mean, it makes sense that you would be looking at all of those things. And then it goes on to say it will also place teams in other New Year's bowls if berths are available, meaning obviously if you don't make the top four, you know, where are you going to end up?
At large, guys,
So with that said, the only thing that I have an issue with last night was I just think Miami should be two. Now, with that said, Clemson has a team that, you know, they lost to Syracuse, and the Canes came in at three. By the way, it's Bama, Clemson, Miami, and the Sooners. And I thought that they would have Miami at number two. And I'm arguing with the guy last night about this, and he's like, give me the quality win. Notre Dame. It was one of the biggest games on the schedule last week, and they humiliated Notre Dame 41-8. But with that said, you know, you could go back and forth. And I know Clemson fans are going, well, wait a minute, we deserve to be number two, Mike, because we are the champions.
And look, I guess now, and into your part about the criteria, when they beat Louisville, Louisville was a 14th-ranked team. Now, again, that doesn't mean anything, because remember, Florida State was a preseason top five, and that's not helping Alabama right now. But Clemson did beat a 13-ranked Auburn at the time, and now Auburn is in the top 10. They beat a Virginia Tech team that's ranked. They did lose, as you mentioned, to Syracuse. And again, they kind of had to squeeze one out there against Florida State. I'm not sweating this, though, because there's teams that have two games left. And in the case of Clemson and Miami, they've got three games left, including a game where they'll play each other. So I'm not worried about this yet. I think, you know, it's fun to get people all anxious and fired up. I mean, Georgia's put themselves in a bad spot, because if you'd gone to Auburn and lost by a point, it's one thing, but you got smoked. So now Auburn's got to hope for, and Georgia needs a little help, but they can, of course, beat Auburn if Auburn does get back to the SEC championship by winning the Iron Bowl.
Well, somebody's got to lose with the Auburn-Bama game, right? We know that. If it's Bama, they're probably dropping out. And Brian, who's running our board today behind the glass, just said, where's Bama's quality win? It was supposed to be Florida State, but it's not anymore.
No.
AT producing the show behind the glass as well, our executive producer. I just think you're right, Mike, when you look at it big picture. I think the Dogs, as we've been saying, now that the official rankings are out, win your last three games, and you're going to get in. Because that's what it's going to come down to, whether you're playing Bama or Auburn in the SEC championship.
Now, Auburn does have, I should say Alabama does have two top 25 wins against LSU and against Miss State, and they will get a top 10 opponent if they beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl. So, I mean, that validates that resume. The question would be, you know, I mean, if Alabama, so you're saying Alabama loses to Auburn, they're just out. They'd be a one-loss team. Alabama, that played in the semifinal and played in the championship game, they're out. I don't know about, I'm not sure the committee sees it that same way.
They would be out only if Wisconsin beats the remaining teams on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Michigan, and then Ohio State more likely in the Big Ten championship.
The big irony, and you and I touched on this yesterday, we talked about this once they announced they were going to have a championship game this year, is watch Oklahoma lose to OK State in a rematch.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, right. It went down to the wire. Now, I know it was at Oklahoma State. It'll be a neutral. Where are they playing this, by the way? Where's this Big 12 championship game
I think
at?
It's in Dallas. I believe
it's
Jerry in Dallas.
World?
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, it would be very interesting to see if old Mullethead can come up with a better defense, although I doubt it that second time around.
Well, and that's the thing about the Sooners. For everybody saying, well, yeah, they're 9-1, and remember, they went on the road, they beat Ohio State, but they do have some quality wins. I mean, they have a quality win not only over TCU, but, you know, Mike, I think the Sooners, when you look at their resume.
Ohio State.
Yes, but when you look at their resume, it's pretty good. The problem is, you said it, can they stop anybody? You know, can their defense get any better? Either way, guys, love to hear your opinions on it. 404-741-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Dogs are still alive, and that's the main thing for Dog fans to realize despite that loss. And that's what's interesting. That's why these next 3 weeks are going to be really intriguing for the Dogs. Even the Georgia Tech game. I mean, it's always big, right?
Right.
But if you're Georgia Tech, how about spoiling their season for them? With even going to the SEC championship game. Because if the Dogs get another loss before getting there, it's a wrap.
And by the way, Oklahoma State loses the tiebreaker to TCU by virtue of head-to-head, but they still, again, two more games to be played in Big 12 play. But look, the idea of this whole thing was to get us talking about it every week and get college football in the conversation. And I got to be quite honest with you. I'm enjoying the college football season more than I'm enjoying the pro season this year.
Are you?
Yeah. I think the games.
Is that because your team is not doing well?
I think because we struggled at times, but I also think, you know, I mean, just you and I, it's the same things which are hurting the NFL in ratings. Some bad games. You know, for every Seattle versus Houston, there's been a ton of divisional play on Thursdays and Sundays and Monday nights that have really stunk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you throw all the other, you know, variables in the equation, all the background noise, it has nothing to do with football. But getting back to this, we still got a couple games to be played, but yeah, people are a little nervous right now about those teams you just talked about.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. I know you guys want to chime in on the phones as well, and you can do so. You can follow us on Twitter, social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I mean, I put him up. See Dukes, follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. We got a lot to get to today, man. We'll continue our conversation about college football. You'll hear from Grady Jarrett coming up at 240 for those who missed our conversation with the defensive lineman for the Falcons who joins us on a weekly basis. Chuck Smith's going to join us, and we're going to head to Seattle and talk to Bob Condotta, that is. And he is a Seattle beat writer for the Seahawks to kind of get a preview of what we're going to look ahead to on Monday night. We were talking about this in the bullpen. Russell Wilson playing really well right now. You know, we were a little concerned that Dak might be scrambling and running, you know, for first downs. I'm really more concerned about Russell Wilson doing that.
Yeah, if anything, I would have, again, Jason Garrett and that coaching staff, that's on you. You know, you never helped out your bad left tackle, and you never maybe come up with some ideas about moving your guy around. Again, Dak in space, maybe rolling out some design rollouts, you're right. But we will see that from Russell Wilson because they kind of have to as well because their offensive line has had some issues with protection.
Yeah, man. Let me ask you this, and we're going to talk more about this later in the show, though. And I only bring this up because it's something we've talked about, and Steve Hummer for the AJC wrote an article about it, basically saying our stadium is so nice
right.
that we're not paying attention to what's going on. And he says, I want to preference this. If you've been to a college game at Mercedes-Benz, not the case, because college fans, obviously, were more emotional and more passionate.
Mm-hmm.
United games, well, we've been there. We saw what was going on. Fans are not leaving the seats. We're cheering. We're standing. But for Falcon games, you know, we have all the amenities. And this is, as fans, this is what we want, Mike. We want all the amenities. We want the best bars and the best food.
Right.
And we've got all that. And Steve Hummer at one point says, listen, you know, it's a pub crawl. You've got people out there, seats, basically making the rounds because you can go from floor to floor or whatever, third level, second level, hit all the different bars, you know, see the sights. But you're not in your seats cheering.
No, you notice, especially if you watch the game on TV. I was at the stadium and I DVR'd it. And you see empty seats everywhere, empty seats where I sit. My section, by the way, guilty as charged, Carl. I was up in my buddy's suite on Sunday because I came down the row and there was basically 50 Cowboy fans in the section across from me. I'm like, I'm not dealing with that. And I talked about that last year in Section 124 when the old days of the Georgia Dome. It drives me crazy. And this year, unfortunately, with the PSL, you know, you've got people that look, and I don't blame you. You can make a fortune. You could have made, you know, $1,000, covered your butt, you know, for your tickets if you were able to scalp them on StubHub or whatever that secondary ticket market was. But United is so much fun because it's 99.9% United fans because there is no PSL. And it's a decent ticket price. It's fair. And it's just a completely different vibe. You're right. You got folks in there, especially in the club level, that have no interest in the Falcons. They're there because of clients. They're there because, I don't know, somebody's uncle who owns the law firm got them a ticket. But they're not Falcon fans.
What's your experience? Let us know. I mean, is it that you're one of these people? Maybe you're one of these people like, look, man, I pay a lot of money for these PSLs. I'm enjoying the stadium. I mean, yeah, I'm there. But isn't it about the game first? It should be about the game first, right? And then, yeah, I've got all the amenities. And there are times to leave halftime to go check out all of that stuff before the game, to go check out all of that stuff, not while we're, you know, it's third and five and we're in the third quarter and we need this drive.
Two things, though. Even if it's an older stadium, you'll notice this. Halftime in the NFL, nobody in any NFL city is in their seats.
No.
At halftime, when you start the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, people are still making their way down from the beer lines or the food lines, or whatever. And that's systemic. That's around the NFL. But as far as the stadium, the newer stadiums, yes, it's 10 times worse. But that's the other thing, Carl. If you're spending, and I'm not trying to make this about class struggle and class envy, but if you can drop $25,000 a seat on your PSL, you might not be the most hardcore fan. Safe to say, you're not wearing a Falcon helmet like my buddy Monkey to the game with a bunch of Falcon beads around your neck. You're not wearing a Jeff Van Note jersey to the game because you weren't there at Fulton County Stadium. So again, I'm not trying to make this about the haves versus the have-nots.
It's about the haves and the have-nots.
But if you are in those seats and you've got access to, and we remember we snuck down there the day we did the show? You've got a club that looks like something out of Las Vegas. That club underneath club level behind the Falcons bench looks like the Cosmopolitan in Vegas on both sides. So, I mean, those people want to enjoy that stuff, you know, and go drink their, you know, their gin, whatever they're drinking, champagne cocktails.
I was about to say, be careful.
But no, I mean, look, if, I mean,
what are they drinking?
Look, if I won the lottery, I'd have a suite myself, but I don't. I mean, look, by the way.
Yes, but having a suite versus being down there and partying with the DJ and kicking it during the game is completely different.
But here's the other thing you and I touched on is we're blessed. I'm very blessed. I don't have any kids. I can validate some of these idiotic purchases I make in my life, but the average Joe can't afford the seats we're sitting in.
404-741-0929. You want to chime in on that, man? Because it is interesting. Here's what's funny to me. As fans, we go, we need a new stadium. We get a new stadium, and we don't pay attention to the damn games. So how old is this today? 40 years.
That's right.
Old.
You know, I work really hard on my hair, and he hits it. He hits my hair. Tony, can I wipe the sweat off of your face?
Staying alive. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. 40 years, man.
Did you practice those steps with your friends?
I was impressed, by the way. John Travolta, when this came out, I was like, man, okay. Disco was huge. What? Disco. You remember disco, right? Disco. Disco.
All right, so when I was a kid, every time we would drive over the Verrazano Bridge, my dad would go, look at me, Tony.
Yeah. Now,
for those who've never seen Saturday Night Fever, I would recommend you check it out. It's a bit of a time capsule as well. But the kid, when he falls off the bridge, that was always the running joke.
No doubt.
Look at me!
Interesting, man. We're talking with you. We're going to get to some headlines. By the way, Jeff Long, AD at Arkansas, he's done. And Mike, now I think this is going to open up another job in the SEC.
Yeah, I think about time they get Brett Bielema on the spit roast, start turning his fat butt, because we love talking to Coach Bielema. He's always a lot of fun, and he's very candid. But remember, and we were talking about this with Samwell Tarly, our engineer today, about how when he was at Wisconsin, he would always get snarky about the SEC. This is when the SEC was really kicking butt. Not that it hasn't, you know, but it's been more top-heavy of late. But Bielema used to take his shots. Brett Bielema, 29-32 at Arkansas, 11-27 in the SEC.
Not good enough. And now that the guy that hired him 5 years ago is gone, it's only a matter of time. What are they right now in the SEC, 4-6?
Yeah. I mean, but you know, look, you know the story. They've had 1 year where he was over 500 in conference play.
Yeah, man. So that news is something we'll certainly talk about as we'll go on the sidelines with the Dogs coming up at 4. Let's talk to Charles in Atlanta. If you're just jumping in and joining the show, man, we're talking about, and it's something Mike and I had discussed privately, but Steve Hummer wrote an article about it, and I think he's right on point with our home field advantage at Mercedes-Benz. I'm specifically, guys, talking about
the Falcons. I'm not talking if you went to Florida State, Alabama game earlier this year, or you saw Georgia Tech, Tennessee. I'm specifically talking about our Falcon football team.
No, we talked about this when we first had the whole concept of the PSL. The PSLs are going to be how with this new season tickets were going to be sold at Mercedes-Benz. That, you know, would you price the hardcore fan out of those tickets? I mentioned real quick, there's a guy that I sit next to in Section 120. He's retired from the old GM plant at Doraville. He picks up some work as a bellman at one of the hotels downtown. That's not exactly upper middle class, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to put his business out there, but that's a guy that loves the Falcons
so much.
Well,
you didn't say his name, though.
No, but I mean, the dude's spending $3,000 on a PSL.
It's a lot.
But then you got to spend the money every year for your tickets. And he loves the Falcons. He's hardcore. But, I mean, guys who I've sat with for years, in the 18 years that I sat at the old Georgia Dome, half the guys in my section did not relocate to Mercedes-Benz because of the PSL and the ticket price.
Folks behind us had 8 seats, 40-yard line at the Georgia Dome. 8. Because the family, I think it was their grandfather or something like that, had the seats way back in Fulton County, and then they moved to the Dome. They got 2 seats behind us because of the price. And to your point, I think you're right. But let me ask you this. If you're a season ticket holder or you're going to these games like we are you just enjoying the amenities more? Is that why it seems like we're not creating a home field advantage? And I bring this up because he says, Steve Hummer, that is, it's not an intimidating environment, at least not yet. And maybe we're all just, you know, enamored with all the stuff that we have now that, Mike, maybe we're not, you know, so in tune to the game. I go to see the game. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to go. I go to see the game. Cowboys right. are there. I want to see the Cowboys get their ass kicked. That's what I'm watching for. Oh, halftime? Let me go get a cocktail. Then I'm back in my seat. Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm not roaming the stadium and kicking it like, you know, from bar to bar.
But that's the thing. How many people are putting those tickets up on StubHub? So when you see that guy in the seats behind you or next to you, that might be his first time at Mercedes-Benz.
Good point.
Guess what he's going to do?
Yeah, he's going to do that.
He's going to take the walking tour. So, I mean, it's just something we've talked about, you know? I mean, and you also throw in for guys like me. I can't get in a fight at age 49. I mean, I could, but it would be embarrassing. You know what I mean? Because I stopped fighting because I stopped winning. But, I mean, my wife and I, you know, she's like, "Don't." It's always a contract year. Don't do it. When I see a bunch of belligerently drunk opposing fans across from me, my nature is to start jawing, and we're going to get somewhere with it. It's not going to be good.
World star!
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's a buzzkill for me. I mean, that's why I took the party up to the suite, and I was one of those D-bags that was up there with all the amenities that you're talking about.
All right, let's grab Charles here. Charles, you're in the game. 1 second, let me click this button, because apparently John Fricky has changed the connection. Fricky changed it for me.
When in doubt, blame Fricky.
Of course. Charles, what's going on, man? You're in the game. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm one of those darn millennials that you guys talk about all the time. And just a little backstory. I was season ticket holder 3 years. This year, moved to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I don't have anybody that I had in the old stadium sitting around me. And every game that I've been to this year, I've had different people sitting next to me every single time. And it's no consistency. It's no building a family like we had in the old dome. It's nothing like that. And secondly, you guys compare the soccer games to the football games. I think they price people of my age out of it.
Right.
It's kind of hard for a person that with an entry-level job like me.
Charles, how old are you? How old are you?
PSL and season tickets.
Charles, how old are you?
I am 26.
Okay. Right. Appreciate the phone call,
just
man.
Making his way in the world, you know. But, I mean, you're right. And the thing is, United tickets are, you know, they're very inexpensive compared to. And, again, there's no PSL involved. You know, you pay as you play. But I agree with what he's saying. Like, and by the way, if the Falcons are listening, which we know they always are, we love the stadium. We just wish – and there's no social engineering you can accomplish here to get people to keep their butts in the seats. I mean, this is the same thing they have in Minnesota with their new stadium.
Everywhere.
And, by the way,
it's everywhere.
Anybody who's been to the Jerry World, it's even worse at Jerry World because they've got 100,000 seats. You'll see 20,000 Giants fans when the Giants go down there or whoever, or the Steelers play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you put all these things out there because it's part of the draw. How do I get somebody off his couch to come spend money at a stadium? You've got to give them all those bells and whistles.
You're absolutely right. And I'll be honest, some of the stuff that we wanted, we didn't get. I mean, honestly, I was like, USB port by my seat, right? I wanted a small television so I could see the different games.
You didn't pay for that four top for $75,000.
No. Even the $45,000 seats don't have that. Trust me, I've been over there. No, they don't have like TVs in front of them so you can switch games. My point is, Mike, you're right. You've got to have all these amenities or we wouldn't be there. Roderick in Duluth, what's going on, man? What do you think?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I really appreciate y'all taking my call. First of all, let me give a big shout-out to number 20, Sherrod Neesman, because he actually gave me tickets to the game.
Nice.
When I couldn't win them from V103.
Cool.
V103.
Right, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. Big, another shout out for Claiborne for making it so memorable for me for his performance. But as far as the people, did you notice how many people are at the game who didn't even have an affiliation for each team, for either team?
Well, I mentioned that yesterday. The guys up in club level and wearing like a purple polo shirt. I mean, what are you there for? You're coming from golf?
Well, 18. I mean, it's just a different vibe. Had a Giants shirt on, I think it was. But you're right. What are you? Who are you with?
And by the way, Tigger's never going to buy you a beer. Come by and see us at Twin Peaks on Friday.
It'll never happen. Yeah. Big Tig, what's up? Hey, Mike in Atlanta, you're in the game, man. What do you think? What's the atmosphere? What are you doing at the stadium, man?
Well, I guess it may be because of my age at 47 years old. I'm the cat that comes to the game and goes make a beeline to the beer man and go sit down and watch the game. The thing that disappoints me is that, like, I haven't had an opportunity to see the entire stadium yet because I'm like you, Carl. I'm more interested in the game. Mm-hmm. And besides, when you walk around that stadium, boy, that thing looked like Club Kaya when Frank G was DJing back in the day. Hey, man, I love y'all so, man. I'll holler at y'all.
All right, thanks, man. Big guy. Appreciate it.
It gets crowded in the concourse now.
He is right about that. Hey, but I'll say this, too. If you can get to the stadium early to check out some of the amenities and whatnot, mm-hmm. And check out, you know, the third level. They've got different bars up there.
Right.
I get it. I did that for the preseason game because I wanted to take my lady around and show
her.
And
that's also football that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What was going on. But for all this money I paid, I got to be in my seat. Here's the other thing, Mike. You said it. The camaraderie that you build with the people that are sitting around you. Mm-hmm. I'll say this for college games. If you have gone to your college games, you know, remember when you were a student, you go to the student section, or as an adult now, you go back to your college games. But it's like the familiarity of the people that you are with. There's something to be said about that. And I'm going to tell you something. Chicago, they have that. In Green Bay, they have that. I mean, you look at some of the cities around the country and you go, well, man, those fan bases are a little bit different. Now, New England's gotten it because they've won all these years. You know, you go to a game in New England in the 90s, nobody showed up either.
But, you know, this is, though, the vibe of the newness of the stadium, as we said. And I think we've covered all the bases. People are putting their tickets on secondary ticket market, so you don't have the consistency of the fans in the section. There are people that want to go around. And again, it's this place to be also, just like when the American Airlines Arena was built in Miami. People didn't know a basketball from a football from what was going on. You know, they're all hipsters from Miami that wanted to be at the scene, aren't
Still
they?
Still don't.
Nope, down there at South Beach. But, I mean, this is not a reflection, by the way, again, for the Falcons. We know we're always listening, watching.
Judging.
We're just saying that we'd love to get that kind of Georgia Dome vibe back. I thought the vibe was great against the Packers. I think that was a game where we didn't see as many Packers fans as we thought we were going to.
No, it was.
And the crowd was really hyped, and it was, and the roof was open. It was nuts. It's just, even in the Dolphins and the Buffalo game, and it just, yeah. So obviously the Cowboys, as you said, a heritage team. You want to have a dome field advantage or Ben's field advantage, whatever you want to call it.
Ben's
field. We don't necessarily have it. And that was the crux of Steve Hummer's article in the paper.
Sarah Manning, appreciate the tweet. She says, when I go to the games, Dukes and Bell, I'm there to see my team kick butt, take names. The rest is whatever. Okay, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, it's bonus to be able to go to the Jack Daniels bar, okay? To me, that's bonus. We didn't have Jack Daniels bar when I was coming up. Nobody cared about that. You just wanted to get a brew and go watch the game.
And by the way, I would still hire more bartenders.
Oh, okay.
You got square bars and you got four places where you pay at the registers. Again, have a girl with a hat that says cash on her head, right? And you, like they do over in England. Cash bar, you know, like just there you go. You know what I mean? There's ways around this that can make it a little less crowded. But hey, we love the product. We love the vibe.
No, I do. Listen.
I couldn't agree more with Steve. You and I talked a little bit about this Monday on the show, and we've talked a lot about it off the air. You want to have a real competitive vibe and your crowd to be having juice and bringing energy to the equation.
Well, and it can get loud in there. I mean,
it did at times with the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Game.
It can get loud in there. But, listen, we want to create that for the Falcons. I think when you talk about having a home field advantage, it's real. And you know, the Falcons are going to face this in Seattle. That's another place, by the way. I've been to games up there. It's crazy. And this was prior to them, you know, making this run over the last 5 or 6 years. Right when that stadium was built, it was almost like people said, you know what, we're going to create this. The whole 12th man thing, which they had a legal lawsuit with Texas A&M because they were using that. Either way, it's a tough place to play because the crowd – stays in their seats. They are involved in the game. They know when to cheer.
And I'm not saying we don't, Mike. I'm just saying you can't have people out of your seats roaming and drinking and trying to holla.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell live inside the Kia studios. This is how the show brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. We appreciate you guys can always hit us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We cannot respond to you, but we can read them on the air.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up, we'll hear from Grady Jarrett. We also got to get to some headlines, man. Last night, college basketball got underway. The guy that likes to kick everybody played really well, man.
Yeah, Grayson Allen, quintessential Duke creep. Looks like he should be in Cobra Kai or any bad guy in any prep school movie over the years. But how'd they look last night?
Well, listen, they look good. He had 37, a career high. They beat Michigan State. You know, this is the tip-off classic kind of stuff where you put the best teams at the beginning of the season. And I like this stuff. It gives me a chance to take a look at some of the games and some of the teams. Kansas played Kentucky. They beat Kentucky last night. But, yeah, I mean, Grayson Allen. I wonder what Coach K had to say to him after the game.
Great effort. Great effort. So proud of you. Here, let me give you your pills. Now, remember, no kicking anyone, no scratching, no stupidity. Great job.
Yeah.
Take your meds, Grayson.
Please take your meds. Hey, man, also, we will talk about the college football playoff. We mentioned Jeff Long out as the AD at Arkansas, which means, in my opinion, Brett Bielema's gone. I think he'll be looking for a job. And who won the Defensive Player of the Week? Take a wild guess. We'll get into all of that coming up on Headlines.
Because I'm like you, Carl. I'm more interested in the game. Mm-hmm. And besides, when you walk around that stadium, boy, that thing looked like Club Kaya when Frank T was DJing back in the day. Hey, man, I love y'all so, man. I'll holler at y'all.
All right, thanks, man. Big guy. Appreciate it.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Nice Frank Ski drop in there. It is Dukes and Bell. Headlines brought to you by McDonald's. Let's get to it, man. College football playoff rankings are out, Mike, and let's hear from committee chair Kirby Holcutt on why Clemson is ranked higher than Miami.
We spent a lot of time talking about teams 1 through 5. A tremendous debate between number 2, Clemson, number 3, Miami, two teams that look very similar. Both are playing elite defense. Very close separation between those two teams. I think what gave Clemson the edge this week over Miami, a Miami team that has really impressed us the last 2 weeks, was the win against Auburn. They have 2 road victories that are very impressive to the committee. Miami's not played a winning team on the road yet, and that's something that has given Clemson a slight edge this week with their performance on the road.
Now, Miami will get a chance to prove themselves because, well, they got the ACC championship, right?
Yeah, they also have to go to Pittsburgh. We were joking around yesterday. Don't pull old Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia and lose that game. But, I guess I can understand. Some would say the logic's a little convoluted. You're still undefeated. I mean, you know, Clemson did go on the road and lose to an average Syracuse team.
And 4-6.
Yeah, you know, Miami hasn't lost yet. So I would still put Miami over Clemson. Regardless, Miami can have something to say about that when they beat Clemson, if they can handle Clemson in the ACC championship.
Here's what he had to say about Wisconsin. They still have a chance. You are our only hope, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, we've said the schedule is there. We were impressed with the win over an Iowa team who defeated Ohio State the week before. Wisconsin continues to execute their offense in the manner that they do. And the defense is what has really impressed this selection committee. The style of play that Wisconsin is on defense, their productivity on the defensive side of the ball is something that has really impressed the selection committee.
Was he having this press conference in the food court? Anyway, I think his underwear is a little tight there. But, hey, we get the idea. Wisconsin's schedule is crap. They beat a ranked Iowa team. And they beat a ranked Michigan team. That'll help out. Do we have to root for Harbaugh now? Wolverines?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah,
not an Ohio State guy. The Ohio State.
But it is at Camp Randall. It's not at the Big House.
Yeah. Hey, man, in other news, Kirby has his team focused on Kentucky. He was talking about it. Mike, you got to forget last week.
I think Mark Stoops is a really good head coach. He's done a tremendous job up there. The energy and enthusiasm in that game last year when we played up there was incredible to me. It's not really how I remembered it when I was here before as a player.
All right, so Kentucky's next. Kirby talking about the running game. Here we go. Got to slow it down.
Mm-hmm. They're physical. Our kids talked last year about that was the most physical game they played in from a defensive standpoint because it was so much grinding and hitting, and they pride themselves on that. So it'll be a great challenge for us when we didn't stop the run real well last week. We're getting an opportunity this week to play a team that is hell-bent on running the ball.
Falling down 6 big notches in the college football playoff, Georgia at number 6. Only Notre Dame
flew further. They were in five, by the way, Carl. Of course, they flew from the top five down all the way down. And TCU also dropped six spots to number 12. Georgia's fine. They can get right back in, win out. The SEC championship game, obviously. But still, you talked about this a lot. We all have. Georgia fans are talking about the psychological aspect of it. You got embarrassed, man. How do you bounce back?
It's a big deal. I'm going to see. We're going to see. You're going to see. If they start this game slow, I'm going to be a little nervous. Just saying. They come out, boom, 7, 14, 21. Start running it up. I'll feel a lot better about it. I'm just saying, I don't know. We act like we want to know how this team's going to respond because of all the things that Kirby's saying. We don't know.
Look, I mean, we talked a lot about Auburn and how good they were going to be and how tough a matchup was going to be. We said that all the way going back to September. But, man, to dominate the O-line, they really made that offensive line look like it was almost week one for a true freshman, a redshirt freshman. How do they bounce back, get some confidence in there? And then also Chaney. Chaney's got a next – if they play Auburn again, come up with better game plan there, pal. Some screens. Screens!
Some draws. Something to take some of that pressure away. Hey, Paul Johnson talking about Georgia Tech's goals for the rest of the season.
You have a chance to get bowl eligible. You have a chance to have a winning season. And if you like to play football – you should like to play. I mean, you got two games left. If it's important to you, every time you go out there, you ought to want to play. But, you know, especially trying to get to six wins is a big deal.
Georgia Tech, they're going to be bowl eligible when this is all said and done? 3 weeks, they're going to bowl? Talking about it?
You know, you still got to, you know, Georgia, you still got to play, you know, assignment football.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia Tech feels good about Georgia. They beat them two of the last 3 years. You know, including two a row in Athens. Duke, Georgia. I mean, this is the conversation we have every year with Georgia Tech. It's the old Dave Brain argument, the old athletic director. Every once in a while, Georgia Tech will win 10 games. Mostly, though, it will be like this.
Do we know if they will try to reschedule that game that was canceled because of the storm?
Oh, good question. I know some schools have rescheduled some of those games. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, AT. That's a really good question.
Well, Central Florida might want it to bounce their case. If they can beat Georgia Tech to be like what Central Florida was the last time O'Leary was there when Blake Bortles was quarterback. They got all the way to the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, we need to maybe put Mike Conte on that and find out if they're trying to do that or if they're going to leave that alone. Either way, Tech versus Duke this weekend. What about our Falcons? Well, guys, it's time to start getting ready for Seattle. That's a Monday Night Football game you'll listen to right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan Quinn saying the defense is coming together, but we can be better.
As we shift into the second half, I've always felt that team chemistry, that's an important part of it. And this connection that these guys have together, that type of communication can really kind of set you free in terms of where you want to go to as a group. It's not just the defensive line or the linebackers or the secondary, but they've made significant, you know, improvements in some areas. We're still going to work like third down like crazy, and that's how does the rush and the coverage work in concert together. And then the turnover margin.
That's Dan Quinn. By the way, congratulations going out to Adrian Claiborne, who was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week after six sacks, guys. Who else was going to get it? Two forced fumbles, one recovered fumble. Guy simply balled out. Dan Quinn also talking about playing disciplined football. And this is a big one. You're going on the road. Don't make those mistakes that kill you.
That is a trend that has to go the other way because we've had four, at least, maybe it's four, is they all interceptions that have been gone the other way due to a penalty. So it's kind of like on the offense, you never know which play could be the one to spring. So same thing from the defensive side. Let's make sure we're playing with great discipline.
All right, so heading to Seattle. The game plan starts now. Mike, we'll talk about it between now and the rest of the week. Monday we'll have a short show leading up to the pregame show. But, man, this is going to be a fun game to watch.
But Seattle a little bit different. They've had injuries defensive line. Who was it? Avril Bennett had to walk away, Cliff Avril, with his injury. So he's done, shutting it down. His career could be over. Richard Sherman's out for the rest of the season. They went and signed Byron Maxwell, their offensive line. I'm not trying to make it all like, you know, like we're homers here. I'm just telling you, Seattle does have issues with the offensive line protecting Russell Wilson. So tough environment to play. You touched on it, home of the other 12th man. But hopefully we can build on some confidence because right now, Carl, they're sitting just on the cusp of the playoffs on the Falcons at 7.
Yeah, man. By the way, it was Cam Newton, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, if you were curious. So our guy, mm-hmm. Claiborne, and it was Cam as the Offensive Player of the Week. Hey, by the way, real quick, another NFL note. We'll do an NFL blitz coming up a little bit later on in the show. But the Bills bench Tyrod Taylor. Now, he came here and played pretty well.
They're going to go with Nate Peterman, the Pittsburgh quarterback. He came in, threw for a touchdown in that embarrassing loss to New Orleans. He had, I think, a 33 rating. Did Tyrod Taylor in that game, threw a pick, was awful. I like Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I think I was kind of excited for him to get more weapons around the guy, Kelvin Benjamin and all that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, they're looking at the situation saying we got to get some offense going here. And they just don't believe in Tyrod Taylor, or at least – Nathan Peterman's got a chance to hold on to this job.
Hey, the Hawks hope to get their first home victory of the season. They host Sacramento at Phillips tonight. And college basketball, we mentioned it, underway last night. Top-ranked Duke beat number 2 Michigan State, 88-81. It was fun to watch, man. Grayson Allen, 37 points.
Big possession for Duke. Allen off of a screen. Straight on for 3. Hits it! My goodness! Grayson Allen going to work! And Duke leads by 7 with 1 minute to go. A new career high with 35.
All right, real quick, lightning round around the room. Arthur, would you be interested in Grayson Allen if we get the ping pong balls?
Nope.
Carl Dukes?
Maybe.
Samuel Tarly?
Depending on where the spot is, absolutely.
Sean the Underboss? He's shaking his head no. By the way, I like the beard. Look like Andre Crouch. I'm going to go with no. I think that'd be a hard sell in this town.
Really?
Yeah, because he looks like a creep.
Can he play?
Last time I checked, Carl, he's also white.
Can he play? That's my thing, man. I don't know. I'll tell you this. If you're talking about number 1 overall pick, no, the answer is no.
Arthur's got his head in his hands.
You're talking about number 1 overall? No.
I mean, what would you rather have? Grayson Allen or a guy from Eastern Europe with no vowels in his name?
Well, I don't know. A lot of those guys haven't panned out either. Hey, man, we're coming back. We got plenty to get to, guys. We'll talk to Big Chuck Smith coming up. Also, next hour, we'll head to Seattle and talk to a guy that covers the Seahawks, Bob Condotta, who covers the Seahawks on a daily basis. What's the deal with the running back spot there? Who's the guy? We'll find out coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.